One day last summer, Ray Nance said, "I hear you're going on one of the field trips with the Children's Center." I didn't know about this, and I said, "Well, I hadn't heard about it." And he said, "Well, Ella Ray says you're going." The kids were going over to Thomasville to see a baseball game. The High Toms will do a game a couple of times in the summer in the middle of the day, and they'll invite all the local daycares and summer camps, and a whole bunch of kids come, and it's just a great, fun-filled afternoon and lunch. Ella Ray, you remember that? You said, "Gee, Daddy loves baseball. I'm sure he will be happy to go with us." And of course, I went. Now, if you volunteer to go on a field trip with the Children's Center as a parent or a grandparent, usually you have to meet the kids at the venue where the field trip is located. But I was informed by Miss Ashley that I had a very special status. I thought it was because I worked at the church, but I found out it's really because I'm Rocky's daddy, as the kids in the Children's Center like to say. So as Rocky's daddy, I got to be a part of the class. And the children were told that their responsibility was to keep up with G-Daddy. Well, we all lined up outside of Miss Ashley's office, and all of us were given one of these. These are name tags. When the children leave the premises, they are given one of these, and they have to wear this around their neck. And it has a little pouch, so any information that they need is put in here. The child's name and all of that is here for everyone to see. We lined up, and the first thing the leaders did was they called the roll. They called every child by name. They checked the list to make sure that everyone was in attendance, including G-Daddy. And once we were all present and accounted for, we went out to the bus. And we got on the bus, and we sat down on the bus, and the first thing they did on the bus was they called roll again. They called every child by name. They made sure that everyone was present and accounted for. And once that was satisfied, we drove over to Thomasville. We got off of the bus, and we lined up. And once again, the roll was called. Every child was called by name to make certain that they were present and accounted for. That happened 6 times on our field trip. That is how important it is to keep up with the children. Now, I need to tell you, I really kind of enjoyed this because I didn't have to make any decisions, because they told us exactly where to go and where to sit when it was time to eat lunch. All of that was provided for us. We even had designated potty breaks. And when you get to be G-Daddy's age, that's very important. It was just a wonderful evening, a wonderful day spent with the children, just having a good time. When we got ready to leave in the afternoon, once again, we were all lined up. Every name was called, present and accounted for. We were back on the bus. Once again, the roll was called. And when we finally got back here at the Children's Center, for one final time, the roll was called. Every child was called by name. The Bible talks a lot about God as our shepherd. In this wonderful passage that Kim read from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about the fact that God is shepherd and we are the sheep. Of course, we all know the beautiful words of the 23rd Psalm that come from the shepherd king himself. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He provides the green pastures, the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then when we get to the New Testament in this passage from John 10, Jesus talks about the fact that He is the Good Shepherd. The image of the shepherd is one that the people in the Mideast would have known very well. Those of you who have been to Israel, you have seen the Bedouins. You have seen the nomadic people that still live in tents and travel from one place to another place as they tend the sheep. And of course, the very beginning, the very foundation of our faith, going back to Abraham, to Moses, to King David, is full of shepherds. The thrilling story of the birth of our Savior begins one night when shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. But the truth is, most of us don't know much about shepherds and sheep. But we know a lot about children, don't we? And so if I don't understand all of the nuances and all of the levels of meaning when the Bible talks about God being our shepherd, I understand this. I understand what it is to keep up with the children, to call them by name, to provide for their every need. And that's exactly what God does for us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he, in that 10th chapter of John, there's so many wonderful images that he shares with us. He says, I am the gate. I am the door. I understand that, especially in the evening or when the sheep might be exposed to some kind of danger, they will call all of the sheep into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold is a safe place. It's usually a place with a stone fence around it so the sheep cannot get in, so predators cannot get in, so the sheep cannot get out. There's only one way in and one way out, and that is the door. And what the shepherd does at night when all of the sheep are safely in the fold, the shepherd will lie down, will literally lie down in front of the opening so that the shepherd literally becomes the door. No one goes in, no one goes out unless the shepherd allows it. There's some wonderful things in this passage. In the 10th chapter of John, this is talking about salvation. This is talking about what it really means to live as a child of God in all of its fullness. It means to live life the way that God created us to live. And so we have that verse, the 10th verse of the 10th chapter, where Jesus said, as the good shepherd, I come that they might have life and that they may have it in all of its fullness, that they might have life in all of its abundance, in its richness. This is what life is supposed to be. And that's what everyone wants, isn't it? Isn't that what everyone in the world is seeking? You seek life that means something, a life of fulfillment, a life that makes a difference, a life that counts. That's exactly what Jesus is offering here. But I want you to notice something. If this is about salvation, and this is about what it means to be a child of God, to experience life in all of its fullness, you notice there's not a single word here about sin. There's not a single word here about confession and repentance. Because the focus is not on us. The focus is on Jesus. Most of the time when we talk about what it means to be saved, when we talk about salvation, we talk about being saved from something. So we are saved from our sins. We are saved from destruction. We are saved from alienation with God and with others. And that's important. But the other side of the coin that Jesus is talking about here is we are saved for something. We are saved for a life that is full and rich and joyous and abundant and thrilling. A life in which we are connected with God. I remember one of those days when I was in college, long ago and far away. We had a professor at Samford University. Thought it was interesting that Matt Cook, who is the pastor at First Baptist Wilmington, also went to Samford. We had a young professor who was the one guy that would rock our world. He would rattle our cage. He was the one who could upset our little apple cart, which wasn't really hard to do in the early 70s. Because we had grown up, I had grown up like many of you in the golden years of denominational life. In the years in which we were building these magnificent buildings, our Sunday schools were full and overflowing. Sometimes we didn't have enough room for people to come together and worship. The good old days, as we often call it. I grew up in those years. I went to school and there were things that were said to me, and I was taught to think, to challenge a lot of the things that I had never questioned before. And this was the professor who could do that. In one of those special moments when we were just having a conversation and he was reflecting on different things with us, he said, and I think he had just lost either a loved one or a good friend, and he said, you know, there's one question that everybody asks, and there's really just one question that matters in the end. And he said, the question is, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be in, or will I be out? Will I make it? Will Jesus welcome me into the kingdom? Or will he say, too bad, buddy, I tried to tell you, you wouldn't listen to me. That's the question. I've had so many people through the years who have come to me and asked me the question, am I doing the right things? Am I going to make it? But even more immediate with a lot of folks is when they have a loved one, when they have someone in their family who maybe has not lived the life that a Christian should live. Maybe they haven't done all the things that they were supposed to do. They have been the sheep who have really strayed away. And they come to me and say, are they going to make it? I don't think they know Jesus. I have to be very careful here because I think we have to take all of the Scripture. And I don't think there's any doubt that when we become a child of God, there is a tremendous amount of personal responsibility and accountability to become a disciple. to be a person of grace, to be a person like Jesus, to be a person who loves unconditionally, be a person who forgives, to be a person who works for justice and righteousness. There's no question about that. But when we ask the question, do you know Jesus, or do they know Jesus, we're asking the wrong question. What I see here, the question is, does Jesus know me? He's the gate. He's the one who decides who's in and who's out. Does Jesus know me? That's why I feel so good about this. When I went on the field trip that day, I didn't have to worry. They could call me by name, Chi Daddy. I've had the privilege of speaking to a lot of different groups through the years, on a lot of different occasions. Let me tell you a moment I have never forgotten, and I never will. A few years ago, I was invited to speak to a group of children to the elementary age who were graduating from the Stoner Thomas School. I think all of you probably know about Stoner Thomas. It's one of the most remarkable schools in this county. It serves special needs children. Well, I went to Stoner Thomas, and I can't remember what I said. I had a little something to say, but I'll never forget what happened next. Because when I finished, and those kids, and some of them were mobile, some of them were in wheelchairs, but they all had unique challenges. The last thing they did at that graduation service, I started to hear some music. And this is the first time I'd ever heard this song. And as the music started to play, those kids, one by one, went to the front and picked up a rose. And they would take that rose to a mother, to a daddy, to a grandparent, to someone who had provided for their needs. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. That was the first time I'd ever heard Josh Groban sing, "You Raise Me Up." And if you listen to the words, "You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be." That's one of the most beautiful examples of what it means to have Jesus as our good shepherd. It's not what we do. It's what he does. He's the one who lifts us up. He's the one who gets us through the stormy seas. And we're only strong when we're on his shoulders. He raises us up to be more than we can be.